Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
You're listening to The Eurotrip,
your favorite Eurovision podcast.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media, at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Warming you up for the Eurovision Song Contest.
Hello there, it's Rob here. I hope you're well, and this episode is as much of a surprise to you as it is to me. As you will know, me, James, and Callum are going to be on our way to Malmö very, very soon. In fact, at the time that you are listening to this, we may be on a plane to Malmö. Very, very exciting. Daily episodes coming very, very soon. But I was packing my case and I got an email, a very exciting email from the Eurovision 2024 team. They said, would you like to talk to the contest producer of Eurovision 2024, Christa Björkman? Yes. Yes, I would. So this is what happened. I had the opportunity to sit down with Christa Björkman, of course, a man with an incredible history at Eurovision and at Melody Festival and in the past. So I had half an hour with him. So much I wanted to ask him about all the live shows, about the running orders, about his general thoughts and feelings and emotions as we head into Eurovision Week 2024. And here is what happened. Sit back, relax, enjoy. This is me and Christa Björkman. He doesn't give interviews very often, so it's brilliant to be able to bring you this as a surprise here on the podcast. As ever, let us know your thoughts. Get in touch on social media. We are at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. You can send us an email as well, hello@eurotrippodcast.com, and feel free to buy us a coffee over on buymeacoffee.com/Eurotrip Podcast if you really enjoy this interview and you feel like it's worth a couple of quid. But for now, here's me and Christa Björkman. Enjoy.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
So, Christa Björkman, welcome back to the Eurotrip. How are you?
I'm so good. And thanks for having me. We're having a lot of fun. It's crazy hours, crazy amounts of information, but it's all very creative, very constructive. And people are really good, I have to say. I've been out of it for 3 years, and it is so much has happened, And so many of these creators know the format by now, and they are really well prepared. Not all, but, you know, the majority.
Well, presumably for you as well, it's interesting because, as you said, you've been out of it for a few years now, a few different faces, obviously, but still presumably a few of the same faces that you've seen around the place and have seen at previous editions of the contest that it must be nice to work with again.
Yeah. It's wonderful to meet old friends again. And a lot of the head of delegations are still there. So that's very nice to meet them. And obviously, my team is put together by people I've worked with before, and I know that they are extremely skilled and very, what's the word? They are
they know what they're doing.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Christra, I've got to ask a very kind of general question early on, because, of course, we're just over a week away from the Eurovision Grand Final, which seems crazy that we're already here, of course. How are things going from your side? Are you happy? Is everything kind of all good to go, to coin a phrase, looking ahead to next week?
Yes and no. We are where we are supposed to be in the process, because this whole thing is a process, step by step. So we just finalized the second rehearsal. We still have the big five and Sweden to do a second time, but the two semifinals are, you know, done the second run through. And I think it's starting to look really, really good. Obviously now what comes last is the tweaks on lighting, because first you bang in everything you have, sort of, and then you have to start extracting things because it's just too much, too wide, too bright. And then you start, fine tuning. So that's where we are right now on all these semifinalists. And as we go along, you feel it gradually get to where you actually want it. And it's very close. Now, obviously, we have three dresses to go through where we will continue to fine tune. But yeah, I feel we're in a good place. It looks amazing on the stage. It was it's a challenging stage. It's a 360, in a round stage, and I haven't worked with that very much. So we did have some challenges in the beginning, but now we feel that we got a hold of it. We know how it works, and It's all very exciting.
How have things changed in the last few years, obviously, since you were last involved in the competition? I feel like this is kind of a full circle for us, because the last time we spoke on the podcast, me and you at least, you've been on the podcast since, but the last time I spoke to yourself, you were going to go away, you were working on obviously various projects. Now you've returned to Eurovision after a few years. Are things very different to the Eurovision that you left?
Yes and no. Some things are the same. A lot of the head of delegations are the same. The procedures very much are the same, like the steps you go through. However, I must say that the creators are much better. They are much better prepared. They sort of, I don't know, I recognize it from Melody Festival, the way we are used to having it, but years back, that was not the routine very much in Eurovision, but they've learned. And some of them are extremely good. So that has changed a lot. And then obviously there's a lot more skin.
We've all seen the pictures from rehearsals, Christa. Yeah, obviously there's a lot of that out there this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You get it. A lot of skin for the money.
And how do you feel about that as a contest producer? I mean, is that fine for you, for the TV audience?
Yeah. When it fits, I really, sometimes it's really, really artistically done. Like Slovenia, for example, it really is a part of the concept, and it really, really comes out very beautifully. UK is another where I think it really, really fits because of the whole concept of their act. There are some where I could question it, where it feels like maybe speculative, you know, if you want to use that word. But obviously, that's up to each and every one, and it's a matter of taste. But surely there must be a world star somewhere around who has set the standard for this and that everybody has seen and said, oh, I'm going to do that. So, but it's fun. Oh, my God, yes, I don't mind.
I mean, have you got someone somewhere ready to blur something if they need to?
Well, I think that's going to be up to each and every broadcaster, I guess. We won't blur. I mean, I know BBC, they are really sensitive to this. So they might. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, who knows what British viewers might see on their TV, as you say, absolutely. Krista, how much persuading did it take for you to come back this year? I think obviously everyone saw back in September you were announced as having joined the team. Once Loreen won, obviously in Liverpool back in May, did you know that you'd be involved?
I mean, I at the FP after party with Loreen in Liverpool, somebody from SVT popped the question, you know, would you? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess. You know, it's very, very difficult to say no to Eurovision. It's the best program in TV history. You know, it's like, it's the mothership of all entertainment shows. So when you get the question, you really, really cannot say no. That's just the way it is. So no, it didn't take long. I think I said yes the morning after.
I mean, there's something right about Loreen winning and then you producing a contest in Malmö. I mean, we've been here before. We're back here again. I mean, there's something right about it.
Yeah, that's what I felt. Also, I'm excited about Malmö being in Malmö again. I started here in 92. I competed myself here in Malmö. Then we brought it here in 13 after Loreen had won in Baku, and now she won again. So, yeah, it's logical. We're in the right place.
Were you part of that decision to bring the contest back to Malmö? Obviously, there were quite limited options, I think, for Sweden this year when it came to where the contest could be.
Yeah, there were limited options, and this was by far the best one. So there was no doubt in anybody's mind. So we just said that, no, Malmö, here we come.
Well, we've talked about Malmö 1992, as you referred to there. We've talked about Malmö 2013. Malmö 2024, what are the biggest challenges that the 2024 contest has presented to you?
To me, I haven't had that many challenges, really. Because everybody who submitted to the contest are here. So to me, it's sort of business as usual. I think the production as a whole would say differently, probably, because there have been challenges, we know that. But the contest has come through as planned.
And you mentioned there maybe the production would say differently. Obviously, we're doing a Eurovision in a unique set of circumstances this year. Yeah. Has that changed anything for you from the production side, or how you've approached your role, or how you will approach certain decisions you make this year?
No, not really. The contest is its own little monster within the big monster. And we have been concentrated and focused on bringing the best contest ever to the stage. We had a decision on the stage, which was very brave, putting in a round stage in this competition. This is something we had to deal with. And it presented a lot of challenges for us. when it comes to key lighting and everything. You have to have that cover all over. And
What was it like for you when you saw that proposal? Be honest.
Oh my God. Actually, I got the same feeling that I got when the stage from 16 was introduced to me. I got that, you know, like tingling feeling coming up from my stomach out into my arms. And that's when you know that, oh my God, we can never say no to this. We cannot. It's going to be hell in the beginning to work with, because it's going to be so challenging that if we can master this stage, it will be amazing and it will set a new standard to this show. And you cannot resist that. As a creator, you cannot resist. And we didn't. And I like that about us. We are, you know, brave to the limit of being stupid sometimes, but we really love to push boundaries. We really do when it comes to TV production. And it was just the time to do this, to take that step and actually make it into a real concert experience in an arena.
And obviously you've spent presumably more than the last week in that arena, and you've obviously been watching the monitors. You've seen how it looks on TV. How was it to I suppose, see it all come to life? You know, you'd seen it on paper, but now you've seen it for real. What was that like? And what is that like? And what can people expect when they do see it on the TV?
Well, for us, the first couple of days when we did the tech tests, it was scary because it was like, oh my God, this is difficult. And how do we cover this? How do we fill all this air with magic, you know? And then little by little, you get into it and you start solving all the problems, all the issues, and all of a sudden, at some point, when light and cameras all come together, it's like, oh, wow, look at that. It's really happening. And you get that first little, you know, chill, and it's like, oh, yes, yes, yes. And then you just have to continue and do it till you have at least one moment like that in every song, because that's what it's all about. You have to give every song its right identity so that it can pop wherever it's placed in the running order. It should, you know, like pop up like a little flower and just be appreciated for what it is. And that is happening little by little now. Some take longer and some just happen like not instantly, but after a few rehearsals, it sort of happens. And but some are quicker and some take a little longer and more effort and more work.
How pleased are you with how the delegations have, I suppose, approached the challenge of the stage? I think we've seen some countries already in the images and some of the short videos we've seen, some countries are utilizing the stage as it feels like maybe it was meant to, and others maybe not. So I don't know what you would say to that.
Well, no, you're totally right. Some of the countries have, you know, treated their act in a traditional way, where they are like very frontal and, you know, just doing that. But we have been prepared for that. So we do have two rail cams on the sides where we can actually meet that. So we can, anyway, even if they are totally facing, you know, the traditional way, we still can break it up to actually show the arena feeling. So there was a solution for that from our side. But also, little by little, they've adjusted as well, you know, and they, even if they don't do much of it, they do use it a little bit anyway, most of them. There are some that are absolutely traditional, but a lot of them had done a great job.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Chris, you mentioned giving every country their moment on camera, yep, on the stage, so it pops on TV. Obviously, when it comes to the running order this year, obviously, we've already got our running orders for the semi-finals. But when it comes to the grand final, we've got something a bit different this year. Of course, countries will draw first half, or they will draw second half, or this year they will draw producer's choice, which means you can place them wherever you like in the running order. Why did you do that, and why did you feel it was so important, I suppose, to take back a bit more control from a production side?
I think the discussion was, the initiative does not come from us only. It also comes from DBU. Because what has happened several times in the last couple of years, apparently, is that a lot of the favorites ended up on the same half. And that obviously leaves a lot of those that are not considered favorites on another half. And that's not good for the show. You want people to be, entertained from beginning to end. And also when you build, when you build anything, there must be a dramatic curve going through the show. And you want to spread those golden little, you want to keep some for later. You want to make an even spread of it. Also, I've seen in the past, I've seen several where you have like five ballads on the first half. And it's like, really? I mean, it becomes very difficult, both for the TV show, but also for the viewers, to actually stay engaged when, you have the same tempo, the same energy coming over and over again. And looking at this year, we only have like three ballads. And you really want them, to use them wisely in the show so they actually, fill a purpose. And actually, you can build a really good dramatic curve with that. Lots of energy of different kinds, different temperatures, different colors, gender, whatever. And then you can go down and those ballads would absolutely pop where they are. So it is a good instrument for us to build the best possible show.
And there are so many factors at play, as you mentioned there, and in less than a week's time after that second semi-final's taken place, obviously you'll be in a room somewhere, you and some others, putting together that running order for the grand final. We already know, obviously, Sweden will open the grand final. But how is it having that level of responsibility, I suppose? Because a country's chances could live or die based on where you put them in the running order. So it's a hugely important task, obviously.
Yeah, it is. And I take it dead serious. It's one of the most important things that a producer does in this show is actually to build the drama. And I'm a true believer that I always look at it like three songs. I look at the song that I'm talking about at this point, and then I look what's before, what's after. And what do I have to surround this song with to make it pop? And once that's done, I go to the next one and I see, okay, what does this one need now after itself and that's how I build it. And obviously what I do is I give a suggestion but it's always questioned, adjusted, and then approved by the EBU. And obviously at this point, EBU, they know all the numbers. You know, they know for sure. I only guess.
You know, and when you say they know the numbers, they know how many votes that song received, how many points it got in its semi-final.
Yeah, exactly. So if there is anything in the lineup that I've done that doesn't correspond with the reality that they have, they will always say, I think maybe you should put this one here or here. Or, you know, so it's like to just separate, especially that's usually what it's about. So not two big favorites end up neck to neck, because that could happen if it's a ballad and an up-tempo song. I could think that they would, you know, nicely go after one another, and they would then say, I think you should spread those a little bit. Like, okay, I'll do that. So so just so that you know, it's not something that I, you know, do lightweighted. It's really, really, really thorough. And it's always controlled also by DBU.
I don't envy the job that you have on a Thursday night. Everyone would think, oh, what a fun job to put together the running order for the grand final. Yes, I'm sure it is fun, but it's a very, very serious task.
It's a huge responsibility, absolutely.
Obviously, this year in the semi-finals, if we go back a bit, you've got the job and have had the job already, obviously, of integrating the Big Five and the hosts into the semi-finals for the first time this year in showcasing their performances. Were you part of that decision to make that happen? Was that an EBU decision? Did you work with them on that? And how has that been, of course, to do for the first time?
It's actually our idea. And I've always felt that this should happen. It is by far, I would say, the most important change for the Big Five in a long, long time. They've never had the possibility to actually grow into the competition the way a semifinalist does. We all know this. The fans who are the carrier of what happens before the competition, they sort of set some kind of expectation for everyone else. We are the only ones who would be stupid enough to bet on something before you see it, you know, because we love it and we dig into it and we look at everything. So obviously we have an idea, and we know that on Tuesday night, the first thing you do after a couple of hours is go in to check the odds and see what has happened. And a lot happens. And that's when you realize that, oh, that one. Oh, I didn't see that one coming. Oh, look at that. Here comes Belgium. You know, like there's so many times that we oversee someone who's not talked about. And then all of a sudden, when the real audience see them, they start coming like a rocket. Fuego. No one saw Fuego coming. It was like 18 or 21 or whatever it was before the semifinal. After the semifinal, they were in the top. So, you know, this happens all the time, but never to the Big Five. They never, ever had that opportunity to actually grow into the contest. Now they have that possibility. Now they will be exposed exactly the same way as our other semifinalists, which is great. And I think once they get used to it, they will benefit from it and they will love it.
I'm not going to ask you to comment, obviously, because it wouldn't be right. But I have seen a lot of people on social media get very excited for, I think, we've got Ireland, UK, Ukraine in the first semi-final, one after the other, which I know people are very excited about.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you are as well, but you're excited about all of the shows, obviously, Krista.
I am. I really am. And I today it's when you produce it, it's very difficult to actually separate what you think of a song as opposed to the act. You know, when you work with it, you tend to love those that where the act fits perfect to the song and the artist, and you sort of cherish that when it all comes together. And it's not necessarily always that song that makes it to the top. But I feel that if we can make every artist proud of what they do on stage and how it looks, then the result doesn't really mean all that much. I know it's always, you always want to win, obviously. But if you can go back to your country and actually say, you know what? Yeah, I didn't make it to the final, but I am dead proud of what I did on that stage and how it looked. That's what we aim for.
Before we wrap up, I want to ask you about one thing that we do know and then some things that we don't know, I suppose. And it's up to you how much you want to tell me. The things that we do know, or the thing that we do know, is Petra is obviously back. Petra Mayerda back as one of the hosts, of course, this year.
Yeah.
How has it been working with her again? Because obviously this is the third time you will have done so in a Eurovision guise.
Yeah. Well, obviously I do not do the show, so I don't work with her like that. But
I mean, behind the scenes, just, it must be nice to have her around.
I know, but just running into her, it's like, oh my God, we're home. We're here again. No, it's great meeting her. She's adorable. She's funny. She's fantastic, and it's such a pleasure to have her back and to have the contest back in Sweden. Obviously, we are so proud and proud of her, proud of ourselves, and proud of Luri. And you know, it's just a great feeling to be back here.
I said, obviously, something we know, some things we don't know. I know that you're not necessarily responsible for them, but you will presumably have been in the arena while they've being rehearsed, for example. There are some openings, there are some intervals, there are a lot of stuff happening in the grand final that we don't know yet. How excited should we be about what we have to come?
Well, I think you should be very excited. It's a lot of stuff happening, a lot of people that you've seen before, but not for a while.
But for 50 years or so, or
well, I wouldn't go that far, really. But no, but it's I think it's going to be very exciting. We do hope to bring this to life, celebrating music, celebrating obviously all that needs to be celebrated this year, and I. You know, we it's hard to talk about it for yourself, but we always want to do the very best possible. And as I said before, we want to push boundaries. And this year, it was very much a question of, do we really have to do that in every aspect? No, we don't have to. There are certain things that we just have to, you know, celebrate, which is music. And I think Liverpool really did that. And they really put up a really good show. And the tonality of the show was fantastic. We love the taglines. I mean, a lot of it is just follow in Liverpool's footsteps. Our big thing really this year is the stage. It is that new element that we put into the show. Apart from that, I think we just want to make fun TV and we want to entertain people, you know, and have a break in reality, a reality that is very tough at the moment. So let's just have a great time together.
A lot of talk before the contest as well, of course, in the months leading up to it. Will the show be shorter, Krista?
Oh, that's a very good question. I hope it's going to be slightly shorter.
Are we
I
talking
don't
like
think
5 minutes or?
it could be. It could be 5 minutes. Hopefully, a little bit more. We are actually in close dialogue with all the spokespersons, for example, because we believe that is one way to save some time, to actually have them focused and also have, like, we talk to them about, okay, what's your take on this? What do you want to bring to the table? And then we try to advise them how to get that said in a short and snappy amount of time. So we are hoping that that sort of direction that we have with them is going to help a little bit. And then we try here and there to just sort of cut little corners and actually make it snappy and quick. And that it's difficult because once you're on the air, time flies and you're having fun, and then all of a sudden it's 4 hours again. You never know.
Krista, everyone listening to this is a massive Eurovision fan. I'm sure they wouldn't mind if it was 10 hours long, honestly.
I know.
I'm sure you probably would. I'm sure you'd probably like to go to bed, but.
Well, we were trying at least not to get on the top 10 list of longest show. That's sort of what we're hoping for.
It seems like a good aim. It seems like a good aim. But paint us a picture. Where are you going to be during the live shows?
I'm in the OB van,
So
looking at
you've got
all.
that glamorous viewing spot in the car park.
Yeah, exactly there. So I'm going to be there till the contest is over, and all the songs have been checked from all corners. I have people by the stage, I have people in the viewing room, I have people in the green room, and they all have one task, and that is to get a check from the artist, check from the sound, check from the head of delegation that everything went as expected. Once I have that from all countries, I leave the OB van and I hand over to show and I say, now I go to the delegation bubble and I will just look and wait for the result.
And what's your drink of choice when you've finished your responsibility, when you're sitting back and just enjoying the rest of the show?
I really enjoy a glass of red wine at that point.
You and me both. You and me both.
Yeah. The problem is, red wine is not allowed backstage at a Eurovision because it stains the costumes
Of course.
when spilled. So there are only white stuff going around. So white wine is fine, and champagne is fine.
It's not a bad alternative.
No, it's not.
Krista, my final question, obviously, we go into Eurovision 2024 in a very exciting position, not knowing who will win. And
I know.
for the contest, that seems like a very exciting thing.
I know. And it becomes more and more apparent the more we rehearse, because it's like, that one might do it. That one might do it as well. And it really is an open field. It's going to be very interesting. It might be clearer after you've seen the semifinals, but I'm not sure. It might still be an open race. Very exciting. Very exciting.
That seems like the perfect place to end. Krista, it's very exciting. We've got a lot to look forward to over the next few days. And thank you very much for joining us on the Euro trip, and good luck with everything that you're doing for the rest of Eurovision 2024.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media at Eurotour Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
So that was my interview with Krista Bjorkman, the contest producer for Eurovision 2024. Brilliant to have him on the podcast. Brilliant to have been able to bring that to you. And as I think I said at the start of the episode, that was as much of a surprise for you as it was for me. So thank you very much to the SVT and Eurovision 2024 team for making that interview possible. some fascinating bits in there. So many that I don't think I have the time to talk through them now, because to be honest with you, I need to pack my bag. And as I said, at the time that you're listening to this, I'm probably on a plane. Do share your thoughts at EuroTripPodcast on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Send us an email as well, hello@EuroTripPodcast.com if you want. And remember, if you really enjoyed it, you can buy us a coffee. We'd be really appreciative of that. You can do that over on buymeacoffee.com/EuroTripPodcast. It's virtual coffee, I should add. You probably know that already. But yeah, if you want to donate a couple of quid to help us keep the podcast going, it would be very gladly received. Also, if you enjoyed it, then feel free to leave us a rating and a review, because that helps other people find the podcast. And there has never been a better time to find the podcast, because daily episodes from Malmö on the way very, very soon. The next time you hear from me, I'll be with Callum, I'll be with James, and we will be at Eurovision 2024. We've got lots planned over the coming days, so I hope you enjoy everything that's on the way. And until then, I'll see you. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.